Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Three things Google looks for in a job applicant, as told to the New York Times. Learning ability as opposed to IQ, some people who never went to college, and people who can avoid fundamental attribution error. Fundamental what? Three things Google thinks are overrated for assessing most applicants: expertise, GPAs and test scores, and whether you're good at brain teasers. So for 3 days now, the most emailed article on the New York Times website has been Thomas Friedman's column called How to Get a Job at Google. But it's actually about much more than gaming the hiring process at one tech firm, like about the nature of intelligence and leadership as seen by a top Google executive and how that's different from conventional notions. Friedman's column was inspired by an interview that New York Times corner office columnist Adam Bryant did last year with Laszlo Bock, Google Senior Vice President of People Operations. Adam Bryant joins us now. Welcome to WNYC, Adam. Hi.
Thank you, Brian.
And is this evidence that life isn't fair? You do this insightful interview with a Google executive almost a year ago, and Thomas Friedman gets the chart topper out of it this week. Isn't life unfair?
The piece I did a year ago got a lot of traffic, too, I think, to the degree that it was a scoop in the world of hiring and leadership. I was the first to report that Google has stopped doing those silly brain teaser questions like, you know, how many golf balls can fit in an airplane, and they decided ultimately that they were a complete waste of time and accomplished little more than making the interviewer feel smarter than the interviewee. So there's often really smart and interesting insights out of Google.
And that had been the buzz previously, that Google asked these bizarre brain teasers, how many gas stations are there in Manhattan, things like that. So they really don't, or they stopped. So the money quote that seemed to set Tom to retracing your footsteps was when Laszlo Bock told you that GPAs and test scores are worthless as criteria for most hiring because they don't predict anything. Why do they believe that at Google?
Because they're looking for people who can learn and create new things, and especially in the tech space, things are changing so quickly. You have to invent the future, so they don't want people so much who can ace the test from college on the course that's been taught the same way for the last 40 years. They really want to get people who can, grow and develop things. We have to sort of separate these things from other industries, too. I mean, if I go to an ophthalmologist, I don't want them to be, you know, always thinking outside the box. I want them to be really schooled in and understand what they learned.
Do I have glaucoma or not?
Exactly. But in the tech space, you know, the skills you bring to the table today are probably going to be obsolete a year from now, and especially in fast-growing companies. You really have to grow into the role and create new things. And so that's what Google's pointing to.
And Bock went on to give you an eye-popping stat that Tom Friedman also picked up on, that up to 14% of people on some Google teams have no college degree at all. What kind of job can you get at Google without going to college?
I think any of their tech jobs, and if you've shown a track record, and it's a very specific profile. I mean, Bock talked in the Friedman piece about this sweet spot between humility and ownership, and that comes up a lot in my interviews with CEOs. There really is that sweet spot you want to hit with people where they are humble, they're aware of what they don't know, but there is also that confidence, that desire to take ownership. I heard a great phrase that captured that quality is desirable self-confidence. And so that's a really tricky thing to hit because you need to find out if the person who maybe dropped out of college after their first year, did they think their professors were stupid because they weren't humble and were kind of arrogant, or did they decide to drop out because they just weren't learning fast enough. So that's one of those really tricky, intangible qualities you have to unearth in the interview.
Listeners, if you want to chime in on this, if you conduct job interviews in your workplace, does this sound like what you look for? 212-433-WNYC. Have your or your company's ideas of what to look for in an applicant changed over time? What kind of intelligence do you look for? And we'll get more into the distinction between IQ and ability to learn here. What kind of leadership or anything else? And how can you tell just by having someone in your office for an interview anyway? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. In the Friedman column, Bach describes the number one hiring attribute for Google as general cognitive ability, cognitive ability, which he says is not IQ, rather it's ability to learn. Do you understand the difference?
I do, because it really is just, are you a quick study? Can you learn things?
IQ is understood to measure, the ability to use your cognitive skills to learn?
I think people can have a high IQ and have sort of narrow expertise. To me, it's just that ability to go into anything, pick up any book, go into any field, and be a quick study. There may be a subtle difference. We could argue whether it's a distinction without a difference. But to me, there are people who are really quick studies. And I think especially in companies, I mean, gets back to the broader thing of what does any employer look for? They want to go to a person and say, I need you to do this. And that might require them learning new things. And it's that desire. It's like, I will figure this out. When I was an editor for many years, if I asked a reporter to do something and they said, I'm on it, you know, that's just music to a manager's ears. And even if I'm pushing them into a pool of cold water that they haven't swum in before, they're, you know, they'll figure it out. And that's one of those great qualities. I just find that as I get older and I find myself sort of cutting the entire population into two groups in different ways. And, you know, to me, this ownership quality that Google talked about is really important. I mean, there are people who take ownership of things and say, I've got this. This is my job, my responsibility. I'll figure it out. And then there are people who don't, and they point fingers and they find excuses. And another sort of framework I've come up with is just there are people who do what they say they're going to do, and there are people who don't. And we've all run into these people. They'll look at you and they'll say, I'll get you that report by next Thursday. In the back of your mind, you're saying to yourself, no, you're not. And then there's other people who just always deliver. And to me, those are the kind of things that get around ownership and learning ability.
Emergent leadership, as they called it at Google, involving both ownership of the task and humility. Unfortunately, too rare combination. As we talked to Adam Bryant, who writes the Corner Office column for the New York Times, about his interview last year with Laszlo Bach from Google on what they really look for in job applicants that Thomas Friedman built on for his column this week, that's now been the number one most emailed piece on the New York Times website for 3 days, which is actually a long time for that status. Let's hear, I think, another example from Nicholas in Manhattan. Nicholas, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Brian. Look, I want to concur really strongly with the concepts of confidence or self-confidence and humility. I think the blend of that is really important. I work for Doctors Without Borders as the Director of Field Human Resources, and that's they're really a key capacity in confident in what you're able to do, but also the humility to be able to look and understand people. But I also wanted to refer to another concept that we look for is that of high ambiguity tolerance. Are you able and capable of taking a step forward when all in front of you is foggy and when you don't have necessarily answers and no one's giving you the answers? Are you capable of decisions and to take leadership in that regard? And we think that's a critical component of the people who work for us.
Nicholas, thank you very much. And in this context, Adam, of emergent leadership, ownership and humility. Bach talked to you about the classic idea in psychology, or I don't remember if he talked to you or talked to Tom Friedman, but about this classic idea in psychology known as fundamental attribution error. If something goes right, it's because you're a genius. If something goes wrong, it's because someone else is an idiot or resources were insufficient or some other external factor. I think the entire series The Office was based on fundamental attribution error. The Iraq War may have been based on fundamental attribution error. This is huge in human interaction. But did you get a sense it's something that they can test for in a job interview?
I think they try and unearth that through what's called behavioral interviewing, and where you really go back through somebody's life and ask for incredibly specific examples of when they actually dealt with a real problem as opposed to the sort of hypotheticals that often are part of so many interviews. So that's one way they try and get at that. And another way of talking about this phenomenon is mistaking correlation for causation. Just because you were associated with something, you assume that, you know, it was because of you. And again, to me, it's so much of it comes back to humility and self-awareness and even this notion of emergent leadership. You know, can you build something from scratch? Can you pull together a team of people to create something? And I think the way organizations operate now, that's an increasingly important skill because they are less hierarchical. And I heard a really good test of leadership from one of the CEOs I interviewed. She said the real test is whether you can get people who don't report to you to do things. You know, that takes team skills, and so much of that also comes back to self-awareness, which gets back to humility, because you can't be self-aware if you don't have that humility.
Stephanie in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephanie.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm self-employed, and I'm 48, and I am experiencing a problem with, I guess it's called the millennial set, the younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really looking for it, but I've really bumped into it, and it's this. They've had the experience of everything being one Google search away. And so generally I find that if they don't find it out there on the internet or in a blog, whatever it's called, a blog post, what have you, instead of looking inside or saying, well, this is an area where I need to figure it out, I need to chart a new territory, I've had younger folks come back and say, well, you know, almost to say that the answer doesn't exist.
Because
it's a very strange phenomenon for me, where because I didn't grow up with all this, I sort of bridged the generations. If I don't have an answer, I look inside, and I look at it with, quote-unquote, EQ skills.
Emotional
skills and human skills to say, okay, well, how do we get to an answer?
Stephanie, thank you. Well, do we have a Google conflict here, Adam, that people in the Google generation are so used to an easy Google search to get an answer for everything that they're not curious enough or resourceful enough to find things in other ways to be good employees for Google?
It's a great paradox you're pointing up. Millennials are always fascinating. I talk a lot about how to manage millennials with the CEOs I interview, and there's a lot of interesting strains and even cross currents there. A lot of the themes come up, like your caller just mentioned. But I also have heard interesting things that they do want to learn quickly, and they are interested in feedback. Not so much they want to get the trophy, just like they showed up to a soccer game in fifth grade and got a trophy just for showing up. But they do want a lot of feedback, and partly it's because that's how they grew up. I mean, you post something on Facebook, you get 20 likes right away. And so I think as an employer and a manager, you can tap into a couple of things. One is they do want to learn. So if you take the approach of, okay, you know, I understand you've just encountered this problem, but here's some suggestions. If you have the right person, they're going to say that and say, okay, that's great. I got that. Now I know how to do that. And the other is that they want a lot of feedback, not always the thumbs up and you're doing a great job, pat on the back, but they want to know how they're doing. So if you can try those two things and see if that works, you may just have the wrong person because they don't have those basic attributes you want, which is they take ownership, they figure stuff out.
And there's certainly a strain of millennial, in my experience, who are perpetually curious. And the fact of the internet, the fact of how easy it is to search things, has people sitting around dinner tables, and when anything comes up that they're curious about, that they want, oh, I'm going to Google this. And some people find that really annoying. But it's, you know, I think that the technology also has a curiosity inducing factor that goes with it for some people. So we just have a minute left. Are there lessons in this for how education, either at the high school or college level, is structured? Is higher education training our brains the wrong way or reinforcing the wrong behaviors?
I think it's a matter of balance, and as much as people have to understand what has come before and understanding history and how things are done, there's got to be, I think, a little more focus on how to create things. I mean, there's that expression about how we want people who can think outside the box, and a lot of industries need those kind of people, but you also have to be able to think inside the box first. And so you got to hit that balance of, and again, it gets back to that sort of humility and confidence. You have to be humble and want to know what's been done before on something, but also have that confidence to look at something and say, you know what, I think I can do this better or come up with a new way.
Adam Bryant writes the Corner Office column for the New York Times. His interview with Laszlo Bock of Google inspired Thomas Friedman's interview with Laszlo Bock of Google that resulted in the column this week that's been the number one emailed piece on the Times site for the last 3 days. Great conversation, Adam. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, Long Island attempted murder mystery. Who shot Gary Melius? Stay with us.